Now, what will be your answer? If someone asks you, what is your purpose for raising your children? Or what would you like to train your children to be? And some people will say, I would like my child to be an engineer. I'd like my child to be a doctor. Or to be famous. All those things are good. We all want our children to succeed in life. But wouldn't it be nice or interesting to find out what God wants from us concerning our children? As a matter of fact, that should be our primary responsibility for all our children. That should be our primary concern for all our children. What does God want us to do concerning our children? Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven. Seek his righteousness. And he said that every other thing will be added to us. So the first thing first is to seek his kingdom. Now the book of Malachi makes it clearer what God expects from each and every one of us. Can we look at Malachi 2:13-15? The message version. Malachi 2:13-15. It says, and here's a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your winning and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. He says, do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. So what does he say is that we should take our marriage seriously. He said, God is there to be a witness, but we took that vow. And now you have broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. He says, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Church. He says, and what does he want from marriage? Children of God. He said, I want children of God from every one of us. He said, that's what. So guide the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. In other words, for us to have children of God, we must guide the spirit of marriage within us. Question. What is the spirit of marriage? What is the spirit of marriage? It's a guide. We should guide the spirit of marriage within us. It means faithfulness in marriage. God expects us to be faithful to our spouses so that we'll be able to raise godly children. In other words, you can never raise godly children in an unfaithful relationship. Our marriage should always reveal Christ. Praise the Lord. Now my topic is train our children the right way. Train our children the right way. Which is the right way? God's way is the right way. Praise the Lord. So we have an objective. And what is our objective? Let's look at Proverbs 22:6, New King James Version. It says, it's a familiar scripture. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But do you know that this principle can work for everybody, both for believers and for unbelievers? For example, the Muslims train their children from their early age to hate non-Muslims. This is why when they grow old, they are willing to sacrifice their lives by killing non-Muslims and taking their own lives also, hoping for a better life somewhere. They know, we don't know. Now the same applies to Galatians 6:7 that says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if you sow love into your family, you reap love. Again, it works for both believers and unbelievers. If an unbeliever sows love, continues to show love to his or her spouse or her children or his children, he will reap love. He will reap love. If we sow kindness, we reap kindness. If we sow the word of God into our children, they will reap the word of God, and they will not depart from it when they are old. But if we sow worldly things into their lives, they will grow to be worldly. Praise the Lord. But for us, we should train our children to go God's way, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. The Bible says we should train and not teach. So there's a difference between training and teaching. Training. So teaching is a theory oriented, and training is practical oriented. For example, a teacher creates an awareness of the concept of a new knowledge, and a trainer helps in understanding the practical aspects of that knowledge. You know, many of us got a driving license here. You know, before you get your driving license, you have to study the manual. You have to take a test. In some schools, they teach it. They teach it, you know, in some schools. So you get the knowledge of how to drive. But again, after that knowledge, now you want to practicalize it. You want to start driving, you want to start practicing on how to drive. Until what? You learn the skill, and now you become a driver. Training focuses on skill, while teaching focuses on knowledge. So we are supposed to train our children and not to teach. Let's look at Hebrews 5:11-14. NLT. So there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. 12. You have been believers so long. Now that you ought to be teaching others, instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. 14, it says, solid food is for those who are mature, who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So that's why it's important that we train our children, so that they will be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. So we have to train them to have the skills and the discipline they will need to be what God wants them to be. When we train our children to know the word of God, we are equipping them with strong faith that will carry them when they leave our home or be on their own. They will now have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15. It says, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. Now that's Paul talking to Timothy. He says, you know they are true. Because the word of God you are teaching our children are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. When you go up to chapter 1, you see why Paul had so much confidence in Timothy. Timothy was taught the word of God when he was a child, and that gave him the wisdom to trust in Christ and became saved. Now let's look at that 2 Timothy 1:5 so that you understand why Paul had that confidence in Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. So you see how Timothy got his faith. His grandmother taught his mother, and his mother passed it over to his son, Timothy. And this is what, we're supposed to do. To train our children so that they will be well equipped and will never depart from it. So that when they grow, they'll also pass it over to their own children. And it continues to run like that in the family. Praise the Lord. So the question is, what are we passing down to our children? Are we preparing ourselves? Because if you want to pass on something to someone, you have to
you can put it in the pocket.
So you really have to be ready for it before you can pass it on. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what to pass on. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
So before I continue with this message, it is important that, to look into some challenges, because we are going to face challenges. Challenges for us to succeed, to train our children. And we're going to read 6 scriptures. The first one is James 4:4 Amplified version. It says, you adulterous, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is, loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Second one, 1 John 2:15, NLT says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Now, Romans 12:2, NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So according to this passage, we need to change the way we think, because the way we think will always affect the way we feel. The way we think will always affect the way we feel. So if we want to change the way we feel, we must change the way we think. And God's word is the only thing that can change us to think like God. Does that make sense? So that is renewing our mind so that our mind will agree with the Spirit of God. I don't know, some of us are familiar with this. There was a play in Nigeria, you know, that says to be a millionaire, you must think like a millionaire. Now you see that the guy, you know, acting within him, thinking that, you know, he's a millionaire. And he begins to feel like a millionaire when he has no money in the bank. So what you think, as you continue to think, you begin to feel that way. So he was thinking that, you know, he was a millionaire. And then, you know, he was feeling to be, you know, his feelings kept portraying him as a millionaire. Let's look at John 15:19. It says, if you belong to the world will love you as its own. I will treat you with affection. But you are not of the world. You no longer belong to it. But I have chosen you out of the world. And because of this, the world hates you. John 17:14-15 says, I have given to them your word, the message you gave me. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. Just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil ones. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light or the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So each of these six scriptures is pointing to one thing: the world. The world is our greatest enemy. The world is our greatest enemy. So many of you may be saying, what has these scriptures got to do with my topic, training a child the right way? I will tell you why. Now, this is the environment our children will be raised. An environment that hates God. An environment that will not want them to hear the word of God. An environment that will hate to see them grow spiritually. In other words, the world is our enemy and God's enemy too. Therefore, we can never let them train our children. Praise the Lord. Now, some will say, how about John 3:16? That said that God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And the word there says, whosoever, and whosoever is not referring to the world, whosoever is referring to people. So when God said that, when the Bible said that God so loved the world, it's talking about the people in the world. God so much loved the people in the world because Satan is the god of this world. But there's good news. And there is hope. And the hope is in John 17:15. And it says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Praise the Lord. So we are being protected. God is looking after every one of us. Much as the world is our enemy, he has disarmed the world. He has disarmed Satan. So Satan has no more hold over us. Praise the Lord. You know, during my early years as a substitute teacher, I happened to cover a third grade class of about 30 students. I don't know if you have taught as a sub in most of newer public schools, you know, the hardest challenge you get is to get the students, do their classwork. So I gave them classwork and they refused to do. So about 15 minutes, the class started. About half of the class, or half of the students, gathered around one computer in the class. And they were all laughing and making noises, dancing. So I was forced to see what was happening. And behold, these kids were watching porno. So I tried to stop them. It was impossible. As a matter of fact, one of the students threw a class duster, you know, at me. So I quickly called the attention of the teacher next door, you know, to tell her what was going on. You know what she said? She responded by saying, "So leave them alone. That they even know more than I do. So it's nothing new." And these are 7 to 8 years, students. Now these teachers, who is paid to teach our children, they are paid to teach our children. So most institutions, and this is true, most institutions have nothing good to offer to our children. They have taken the Bible out of the school system. They have taken prayers out of the school system. They have even taken God out of the school system. You can't even mention God. And many of them are ungodly. Therefore, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, they cannot see the glorious light of the word of God because Satan has blinded them. They don't understand the message about Christ. The only thing they can teach our children is their own belief that homosexuality is not a sin, which many of them are. That there's no God, because many of the teachers are atheists. And if these children were not taught by their parents, if they're not taught by us to believe otherwise, they will see themselves graduating with the school belief system. You know, sometimes I begin to visualize. I will not be surprised to see in the future in this country what the president of this country will be again. The worst part of it. I mean, can you imagine introducing the president of this country or any country, President John Johnson, and then the first lady as Mrs. James Johnson? Can you imagine that? The worst part of it is that many of them are adopting children. Can you imagine what they'll be teaching them, teaching those kids? And can you imagine what those children will be seeing? Getting them confused. Seeing a man acting as their mother. And that these are the same children, these are the same kids that will want to socialize with their children in schools. And they can imagine how they'll be relating to them or with them. Brethren, we have a job to do to train our children in God's way. All they have to teach them is to love the world and the things of this world, which God said, when we do that, we are his enemy. Unfortunately, the society is not helping our kids. They are training our children through social media, TV programs and commercials, violent video games, computers, etc. See, most of our children spend more time with computer games than interacting with their parents or siblings. They lack the ability to socialize. There was a time I was coming, you know, going somewhere, 10-10 wings, you know, radio 10-10 wings. Was saying there was a debate about removing Bible from hotels. And then they didn't talk about, because when you go to hotels, I don't know if you guys have seen that, they have a Book of Mormons, and they have a Muslim Quran. And they never mentioned that. But they want to remove, they talk about Bible. Brethren, the world is our enemy. So this is why we should start as early as possible to train our children the right way. And we start training them by we ourselves understanding that they are watching us. Let us have that idea that our children are watching us. We are the first person they are in contact with. Do you know that one of the reasons God chose Abraham was because he saw Abraham as a man that would train his children to love God? Let's look at Genesis 18:19. TLB. Or any version. If you don't have TLB, that's TLB, that's the Living Bible, if you have it. He said, I've picked Abraham to have godly descendants and a godly household, men who are just and good, so that I can do for him all I have promised. Let's look at it as, you know, the King James Version. It says, for I know him. God said, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. So this will tell you how important it is that we should raise our children in a God's way. This is what is expected of us. And God said, this is why his promises for Abraham will come true. Praise the Lord. It is a fact that not all children will follow what they have been taught. Some may live for worldly or wild life. But the seed, the important thing is that the seed has been planted in them as a result of a proper training. One day, they will be forced to come back. We saw that in the story of the prodigal son, how he left his father and started living a wild life. And the Bible said that when he came to his senses, he now said, now I will go back to my father. And if you read the story very well, when he got there, he didn't say, Father, I've sinned against you. He said, first of all, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And then pleaded, and he was accepted back. We also, Graham, also lived a wild life. But because of the seed that was planted in him, he came back, and now he is a very strong preacher. Praise the Lord. So as we continue to teach them, even if they are not listening, you are sowing the seed. Continue to sow the seed. It must surely germinate. Praise the Lord. So what do we train them to know? Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Say, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. So first of all, before we teach or before we train our children, we must have to train ourselves first. He said we must commit. There has to be a commitment to the word of God. It says, talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road. Sorry, I skipped something. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. That's very important. Say, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I said, notice that the first part of the statement is referring to parents or adults or the teachers. It says, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. So before we can teach our children, we must first of all teach ourselves, because you cannot teach what you don't know. God said we must commit ourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that he has given us today. Then we can now teach our children, because he wants his covenant to continue by our children. So it is important that we should understand that these kids are watching us. They would like to mimic us to do what we do, to listen to what we listen to, watch what we watch, and talk as we talk. He said they are watching. As young as they are watching you. They are watching us. What kind of music do we listen to? What kind of language do we speak? They're all watching us. I was listening to Charles Stanley, and he said a woman came and gave testimony. So the woman said when she was pregnant, that she was always watching his program. And then when she gave birth to her daughter, to her own surprise, whenever Charles Stanley comes on, her daughter, as still as a baby, her eyes will open, and then she noticed that she still recognizes that voice. And do you know that one day she said she was eating? They were eating. And Charles Stanley was on the pillow, and the baby crawled and came right in front of the TV and stood there listening to what Charles Stanley was talking about. Because this is a voice she was familiar with when she was in the tummy. So that's mystery. We don't know what is happening there, but God knows how to reveal himself wherever we are. Praise the Lord. So our primary assignment is to help our children grow spiritually so that they will continue with God's covenant. Now, how do we train our children? When I'm done with this message, that's a small video that you're going to watch. It's about less than 7 minutes. That you see a young child of about less than 3 years, 2 years plus, less than 3 years, reciting Bible verses. And then when you see that video, you begin to imagine how much time her parents or her mom spent in training her. I mean, that would be a kind of incentive to tell her these children, they are eager to learn. So whatever you teach them, at that age, they are willing to absorb it. Praise the Lord. So how do we train our children? First of all, number one, Our children need to know that the most important thing in life is having good relationship with Jesus Christ. We must train them to know that Jesus is our Savior and that He is the only way to get to the Father. They also need to see that relationship in us. It's not a question of dropping them in the church and going home. It's not a question of not bringing them to Sunday school, coming to church late. Because when you do all these things, they are learning, they are seeing you, they know that you are not serious with God. And how can you begin to teach them to be serious? How can you be teaching them about Jesus Christ when they have seen you? See how reluctant you are on Sundays. You come to church late. They know that you're not serious. They want to see how committed and serious we are as we serve the Lord. Our children are very smart and can copy easily. If you are a parent that have good relationship with Jesus, they know. And that will determine the line they will follow. So parents, let us understand that we are their model. Number two, they need to know that the Word of God is the only reality they have, and that whatever they need in life to succeed is in it. It's in there. They should know that the answer to all our problems is in the Word of God, and that God answers prayers. Again, Charles Stanley on that video, he was saying that he was, you know, trying to teach his children that everything you need, you pray that God will answer your prayer. So whatever you need, God is going to give it to you, because He is willing to, you know, to give. God is always willing to give. So his children came to him. Two of them came to him. Well, they wanted to go to Paris. And Chastelli didn't want him to go. It's okay, you guys go and pray. Pray whatever God tells you to do, go ahead and do it. So they went and they prayed. They came back. And Chastelli said, "Did you guys pray?" They said, "Yes, we prayed." "What did God say?" "God said we should ask you." He said, No. "God cannot tell you to ask me. You go back and pray until you hear from God." So they went back again. So he was trying to teach them that God can always answer prayers. And when you begin to ask for something that is not according to His will, he won't do it. Praise the Lord. You know, Joshua 1:8, a familiar scripture, says, "Always remember that." That's a ERV version. Say, "Always remember what is written in that book of law. Speak about that book and study it day and night. Then you can be sure." So you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you'll be wise and successful in everything you do. So when we continue to obey the Word of God, then our success will come. Number three, and this is very important, you know, for our children. Number three, train them to understand that they are accountable to God. That they are accountable to God, not to you, not to themselves, not to their friends, but to God. This will help them to be mindful of whatever they are doing, even when you are not there. Even when you are not there. So when they want to misbehave, then now their mind will just go to what will God say, because I am accountable to Him. Number four, they need to feel your love, and that your love for them is not based on performance. Not when they do something good, you love them. In other words, we should not love them only when they are good. Our love for them should be unconditional. If they know that you love them, they will try not to do anything to bring shame to you. When there is need to discipline them, we should do that with love. Let them know the reason for the discipline is for their own good and for their own benefit. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians 6:4, NLT. It says, Father, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. We should not provoke, the way you treat them, we should not make them angry. We should not provoke them to, you know, to anger. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You know, when you want to correct them with the word of God. You can find the offense they committed in the word and read it out for them so that they will understand that what they have done is against God and against you. Let them have that in mind. Colossians 3:21 says, Fathers, ERV version, says, Fathers, don't upset your children. If you are too hard to please, they might want to stop trying. Will you try to stop them when they want to have relationship with you and then you try to push them away? Then they stop coming to you because you have nothing to offer for, you know, to them. 5, train them to know the need to be together. This means spending quality time with them. Quality time means turning off all distractions like the phone, the TV, computer, and giving them your attention. You see, you are making an investment. It's a huge investment. So there should be a time when you want to have a good relationship with them. And that would be a time you turn off everything. TV, no distraction. And then pay attention to them. Because they need the attention. There are certain things they want to tell you. But they may not have the opportunity. They may not have the time to tell you. So create time. And when you create that time, it won't be a time to watch TV or your favorite program, you know, on TV. Some people set aside what they call family nights. I remember, I don't know, Pastor Aaron talked about it when he was here, that, you know, when his children were small, they have what they call family night. It's a special night when everyone, you know, get together. Says his wife will cook the best dish that everybody likes. And then they introduce a lot of things so that the children will be happy. And that time will be a time of opportunity for them to tell their parents the things they have been doing that they don't like, vice versa. And the parents will also tell them. So there will be mutual understanding. And he said after the dinner, you know, one of the children will pray. They take turns, they pray. Some of them, you know, will share the word. So this is one of the ways you enjoy your children. When they are doing all these things, it's a thing of joy that your children are participating, you know, in the things of God. So we have to create time for that. Praise the Lord. Listen to them very carefully when they are speaking. Whenever they are speaking, we have to listen to them. Sometimes we don't listen. We think that, you know, because they are children, what they are saying is immaterial. This will tell them how much you value them. The benefit of this is that when you speak, they pay attention because you always pay attention when they speak. 7, when you are wrong, it is important to admit it. This way they will know that nobody is perfect. The good thing is that when they want to do something wrong, or when they have done something wrong, they will also admit it to you. Because you always admit yours. Praise the Lord. Motivation is very important. It brings out the best of them. look at, see where they are good, and begin to encourage them. Look at where they are bad, they are not doing well. Try to help them there so that they will also pick up. Don't try to criticize all the time. You look at, you know, even when they are doing good, you don't, you know, see the good they are doing. You always look at the bad and begin to criticize them. That will bring them down. That will demoralize them. Train this child. And like I said, you know, these are our children. It's worth the investment when we continue to train them, you know, to know the word of God. But we continue to train them, you know, the right way. We are the people that we enjoy. You can imagine when you train your child to be accountable to God. You know, when you are in your house, you will rest. No matter where they are, you know that they know they are accountable to God. So, brethren, let us continue. For the world is our enemy. But the good thing is that Jesus said that we have been protected. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.